Joy from the Montgomery area.
Hi, my name is Joy, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Joy.
God, am I an addict? You know, I have a lot of friends that are speaking this weekend, and I know they're studying and reading and making notes and trying to make sure that they can give like the best and responsible, you know, message, because that's so important. But when I thought about this topic, I realized that hope and faith is not something that I can study. It isn't something that I can read about. You can't teach me. It's something that I have to experience on my own. I didn't come in here with faith and hope. I did not believe that this program could help me, because nothing could before, right? I came in here with pain and desperation, and that was it. I had gotten okay with the idea that I was gonna die high. And I thought that being true to the game was okay. It was a way of life that I thought I had chosen and that I couldn't change. I had no idea how to stop shooting dope, none. And when I thought that if I said I was okay, it was because I could walk. You know what I'm saying? That's the only indication of whether I was having a good day or a bad day. It didn't matter where I was or what I was doing. As long as I could walk, I was okay. I got to the point where I had no ability to feel fear or anything else for that matter. And every time somebody tried to help me, I turned them down. Right, I did, because I didn't really think there was any help for me, and I got to at the end of it, I didn't think I needed no help. You know, I was on my way to die the way I was supposed to, the way that my life had determined through my own behavior that I was going to. I had nowhere else to go when I came here, so I sat in a seat. I didn't say anything because I was so angry. You know, I was angry I couldn't do it myself. This is one thing that I could not do on my own. And I had spent my life surviving on my own. Whether it was because I had to from my childhood, or whether it was because I had decided to, because I didn't want to follow anybody else's rules. Not society's, not no man, not my parents. You know, I didn't want any teacher. I was the teacher. The street was my teacher. And I was okay with that. Once I learned the game and learned it better than you, I thought I had some kind of, you know, advantage. But the thing is about the disease, right? It continues to do the same thing over and over. So when I came in here and I listened to other people talk about how they got clean, at first, of course, I thought they were full of shit. Right, there is no possible way you could have done what I did and get clean. I had hurt so many people that the shame and guilt was kept me out there for a lot longer than any feeling of getting high did. You know, every time I came down off of using, it was like a wave of pain. I could see every face that I had taken advantage of, every child that I had left. You know, every family member that used to come and look at me like I was in a fishbowl, like that would be the last time they saw me. They really want to talk to me. They just wanted to see me for one last time. And that was okay with them. And for real, it was okay with me, because I didn't have anything to say to them. Unless it was my birthday and I thought it'd be good for maybe a couple dollars. Right? Because my language had changed. If I said I loved you, it meant you better watch your wallet. You know what I'm saying? It's true. If we were friends, it meant you were only my friend until you ran out. And if we were splitting something, I was going to figure out a way to get to the bathroom and leave your ass where you were. Don't believe nothing that I said, right? Because I knew that my language meant something different to you. I took advantage of every situation that I could. You know, I was places I shouldn't have been, and I took advantage of that. I did not care. I know how I look, right? I look innocent, like I don't do nothing. And I even used that to my advantage. Yeah, I don't do nothing. Until you turn around. And I knew that when I came in here, I would have a lot of work to do. I didn't want to do it. I really did not want to do it. I did not think it was possible for me to do the work that I had to do to change the way that I was thinking about you. Because every time I came in here, somebody said I needed you to help me get clean. Fuck you. You know what I'm saying? Really, you had hurt me enough that I had to learn a game to defend myself against you. And now you are the people that are supposed to be helping me. It was difficult for me to understand. I was overthinking it, of course. But I came in here because I really had no place to go. You know, I had nothing else to do. And so I sat here. And I sat here for a year before I even opened my mouth, which was probably a blessing for you. But what I heard was that what had happened to you, even the bad things, the negative things, the painful things, still allowed you to find a place in here where you could stop. You could just stop. And even if it didn't mean that you got rich, got married, or bought a house, it meant that you weren't using no more. And I didn't even have the hope that I could do that. 5 minutes clean was impossible for me. Completely impossible. And every day that I sat there, right, something was happening to me. This program was taking over because there isn't much you can teach about hope except for the fact that I sat in that chair. By sitting in the chair, I made an admission, right? I needed something and I couldn't even tell you what it was. But every day that I stayed clean in here, it started to build a seed of hope in me that maybe tomorrow I could do it again. Right, and then when I saw all the stuff that was happening for people, you know, people getting their kids back, getting jobs, going out in the daylight, going to stores when they were open. You know, actually paying for stuff when I walk out of the store with it was something new to me. Having my own place to live, you know, being able just to be clean every day. Put my own clothes on and not who knows whose clothes. You know what I'm saying? And begin to have some consistency in my life. But it wasn't that I really believed in the program. I thought just sitting in the seat was working. That was it. I didn't do step work. I got a boyfriend instead. Since he had 18 months, we had 18 months. And since he had done the fourth step, well, we had done the fourth step. You know, I didn't need no sponsor. His friends were my friends. And I was good with that. Hey, we got time, we good. Look at my network, I'm okay. You know, but I didn't realize at the time that I had not started a foundation of my own. What happened when he left? Or I kicked him out. I'll let you guess which one happened. Because what happened for me was that this program started to work on me. And my hope, right, every time something that I thought I wanted to have happened, turned into faith that maybe it would happen for me again, right? And every day it increased and improved. And I started to believe the things that people were saying because they started happening to me, right? It wasn't that I got $1 million. And if I did, I wouldn't come in and tell you that because it's not the point of Narcotics Anonymous. My recovery was about my peace. You know, I was miserable, always running, always gaming, always planning and plotting and needing out there, desperate to stay in the game so that it didn't catch up to me. But in this program, I was allowed to have some peace. You know, this was a place where I could come, where I could just breathe. And at least for 1 hour in my miserable life at the time, I was not running from my own mental shit, right? I wasn't running from my disease. I was listening to you tell me how you was working on yours. I just needed that 1 hour at first, 1 minute. You know, that desperation finally took me to a place where it turned into hope, and then it turned into faith. And now every day I find that I need that faith in a different way. When I first started to recover, it was just about, please let me stay. Right? And then when life started showing up, see, I kind of thought that once I came in here, drugs was my only problem. Everything else was okay. I didn't realize how fucked up I was before I started using and how much using had added to that those issues. You know, every time I thought that, okay, I got this, I'm fine, you know, I realized that I didn't. There was a back door that something was coming through, another area of my life that I had to address. So I finally got my own sponsor. You know, I stopped talking to so many men. Men were so much easier for me to talk to because out there, women were just in my way. Or a pawn on my chessboard that I used, right, to get what I needed. And then I made sure that you were moved away so that I could keep what I had. You know, I was always in competition with you. And with men, it was kind of like you were just a wallet with shoes. And I ain't had no problem telling you that. But I had such a gift of gab, even out there, that I could make you want to get a second job and thank me for taking all your money. And I knew that. And it seems like, right, you think about those days and they're so far away from where I am now. You know what I'm saying? But I know that the part of me that could do that then could do it now. Could take anything from anybody if I'm in the right circumstance, right? If I'm in the right place at the right time, or I should say the wrong place at the wrong time, where everything comes together and I forget how much help I need, if I forget to use you, the very people that I did not trust when I came in here, that I did not want to talk to, that I thought that you couldn't help me, shoot, if I can't help me and you just like me, how can you help me? You know, I thought it through all the time. And what I have come to understand now is that every year I get clean, I am faced with new challenges, bigger ones, because at first it was just I need a place to live. You know, I need some soap that I can use every day, a toothbrush that I can say is my own, that I know where it came from. You know what I'm saying? And as life goes on, I find that I need more things. You know, I'm required to provide more things, you know, for the family that returned to me and for the positions I had before I went out and started using, like mother. You know, I had given up that position, decided that, you know, mother was not a term I wanted to be. It was not a responsibility I wanted to take. But when I came back in here and I started to understand that it was not something that I had a choice about, it was something that my higher power had given me. It was a title, like daughter, sister, mother, you know. And I allowed this program once again to teach me how to do that, right? To teach me how to be a mother was to take my kids off the little pedestals and allow them to grow, make mistakes, and teach them instead of beat them. You know what I'm saying? Instead of beat them down or leave them again, I learned how to stay in here. I learned how to fucking stay. They used to call me Joy to No World because I'd be gone a hot ass minute. And I didn't even know where I was going, but my feet always knew. It's like I got a feeling inside and my feet would start walking and I had no idea where we were going. But I got exactly where I needed to go and I knew it, I always did. In here, that's called faith, right? Take that step, not know where you're going, get exactly where you're supposed to go. But I make that consciously now, and it's scarier. Out there, drugs was driving me, right? Now it's something internal driving me. You know, it's not about like I have a definite thing I have to get at the end, right? It's that I have a definite movement. I have definite action I need to take. And then I have to come to the point where I can say, no matter what happens at the end of this road, I am willing to take the chance, the opportunity that I have been given, use the tools that I have been provided, and stand on the words that this program has told me that I am worthy of something better than the life that I had out there. That Narcotics Anonymous can be the bridge from my crack pipe and my needle and my hookers and everything else, and take me over all that pain and get to some really good life, just some peace, an area that I never knew ever. You know, today I have my own. I go home, ain't nobody yelling at me. Ain't nobody telling me I got to go. I can't tell you how peaceful it is to be able to go home and know when to go. You know, I stayed a long time in places where I should have left. Just I ain't had nowhere to go. Somebody had rented my car. I couldn't leave. You know, I was stuck. I was stuck in places. I was stuck. But I'm not stuck here, right? I am continuously provided with opportunities. I am continuously, you know what? I don't go looking to add people in my life today, right? Because I know that I'm not good at that. I want the best looking drug dealer in the room. And it doesn't even matter if you're a lawyer. I want the one that's gonna go in the bathroom, snort some heroin, and then go in front of the judge. That's what I want. Right? That's what I know how to pick. But when I wait on my higher power, and I have the faith that this program has given me, and the momentary patience that it takes for me to wait on God and not do my own thing, because I move a lot faster than he does, all the time, then I'm always pleasantly surprised. You know, I think about that the most with my sponsees, with people in the program that I think, how can they look at me and think that there's anything good? Because when I look at myself a lot of times, all I see is everything that I have done. All my scars and all my injuries and all the things that have happened to me, I see it every day. It doesn't go away. But the blanket, right, the covering for that pain remains in here. It stays in here. I know without a shadow of a doubt that when I go to a meeting, I'm going to feel better when I leave. It doesn't matter if I say something, talk to anybody, sit in the back of the room or the front. It doesn't matter if I'm sharing or secretarying or doing nothing at all. I know I am going to feel better, right? There's no other place on this universe that I have ever found that has that guarantee of peace ever. There's nothing, no man, they're all temporary. Nothing, no job, no money, nothing. I have to stay here. I'm still sick. I still can see those issues that are core issues in me that came long before I had a choice about whether I was gonna have them or not. You know, I had to be raised by somebody. Good, bad, or indifferent, I was raised by somebody, and a lot of those things were put in me when I was too young to even understand what was going on, right? But now I know, and with knowledge comes responsibility. You know, I have gone through more the second half of my recovery than I went through the first. Maybe it was because I was still in a daze, you know, still trying to come down from all that stuff I had done. And I kind of believed that every place I went, you know, if it was in recovery, that everybody was going to love me. Wasn't going to be no gossip. Wasn't going to be no back, you know, negative talk about nothing. I really did believe that. I started to believe in the goodness of people. You know, and somewhere along the line, life showed up again. And I found that that's not always true. So I kind of... maybe around 7 years, I thought I had lost my way for a minute. I said, wait a minute, that don't make no sense. You know, I want to come to a program where everybody's nice. But I have to remember that I'm coming to a doctor's office when I come in here. Right? And this could be the patient's first day. Right, or they could have been sicker when they got here than I was, so their 10th day wouldn't equal to my 10th day, right? But see, all I know is that I have to continue to work on my days, because sometimes I also can revert back to who I was. If you start talking about the right person, I might jump in there with you. You know, I mean, everybody doesn't interest me, but there are a few who stand out. And then I have to catch myself, you know, and remind myself that if I'm only human, right, then so are you. And so it's not you that I have to look for my faith from, right? I have to really work on my relationship with my higher power because he works through you. Gives me those kind of hard or easy lessons. Most of mine have been hard because of my hard head. Y'all don't learn nothing until I hit the wall just that many times where I got a big knot. I don't even think that I could hear it any different. It's how I've always been. If you say I can't, well, I'm going to have to go through trying to prove you that I can until I finally get to the point where, okay, I can. You know, this past year, I had realized that I had chosen people in my life that were irresponsible or unreliable or untrustworthy so that I could blame them for any mistakes that happened. Anything that had gone on that I sort of should have had a red flag that I could have seen go on, when they did it, I'm not going back. It's the whole program. One person has just taken away the whole program. And that's what happens to me as an addict is that I will completely exaggerate any situation, any possible answer, and then I have to take myself and ask my God, please show me my lessons. You know, and instead of sinking down deeper, what happens, like it always has in here, is that God provides me with loving people that I know care about me to come around at just the right time, right? When I can hear the best, you know, and I can see the best, and I need the most. The program has never failed me in that way, ever. Let me tell you, when I first started coming here, I was still on the knob. And people were still saying, come back. You come back anytime. You need some help? Now, you know they weren't asking me that on the street. I've had a hard life. I know I have. And I can only thank this program for giving me a break from it. I thought that all things would be like okay after I got clean and learned my tools and, you know, that I would be able to deal with life on life's terms a little better. But I also kind of thought that life's terms would be easier. You know, I wouldn't have no mean people coming into my life. I wouldn't have no bills that I couldn't pay. Because I was clean now. Can't you see? I deserve something. Like at least a gold star or something. One bill I don't have to pay. Can you IRS just say, you know, okay, you got clean, great. You don't have to pay us. You know what I'm saying? Just something that would make, you know, like I thought I deserved some kind of prize. That still doesn't happen. I now have tax strategy, so I don't have that problem anymore. But the thing is that I really believe that. You know, I really thought that I deserve something better now and that my life was going to be magically changed. But the realization that my family's just as sick as I thought they were when I came in here, you know, my relationships are still just as hard because my picker is still just as bad. My stress on wanting to be who you want me to be hasn't changed. You know, it can and it will because of this program, but I need more time. You know, I need more time. I want to stay in this program because it allows me to keep coming here and getting better. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Joy.